Wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis and before the Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday, when a man could still work, still would. It's the best of the free life behind us now. And are the good times really over for good? And are we rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell? Kind of chance for the flag or the Liberty Bell. I wish a Ford and a Chevy would still last 10 years like they should. It's the best of the free life behind us now. And are the good times really over?
And how many years ago was this song recorded? I'm Merle Haggard. Yeah. Good evening. Jeff Bennett here for The Edge on this Monday night. This is, this last 4 days has probably been the roughest days I've emotionally ever experienced in my life. I'm not going to bore you with the whole thing because I'm afraid that far too many of you are experiencing and going through the same thing. Months of rioting, especially on the left coast, in the northeastern cities, the northern Midwest region, where armed militant leftists have razed and burned entire towns as a sign of things to come, so long as half our residents continue to embrace the foreign and ideology that is so anti-ethical to the principles America has stood upon for well over 200 years. All this is taking shape to be the biggest issue of the 2020 campaigns, one that Democrats are certain to lose since they've essentially endorsed this violence and mayhem, and they've denied the proper tools and resources to law enforcement needed to restore law and order. Basically, they're spitting in the face of their own cops. In the meantime, they continue to smear our president over his strong law and order stance. He sends federal agents to enforce the law and protect federal buildings in these communist hellholes. And the mayor of Portland, or I think it's the mayor of Portland, has told him don't bother showing up. He's got no use for Trump. He likes to flex his muscles and think that he's better than Trump. Mayor up in Kenosha told him not to bother to show up. It's unbelievable. Of course, we gotta listen to these communist sympathizers like Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, a black woman, bemoan the fact that any white militias exist, as she recently told Democracy Now! That they'd been ignored too long. Oh, sure, she wants to suppress white militias. What better way to pave the road ahead for the Antifa and BLM radicals and the new order of communist and globalist tyranny in America? You know, sane Americans across this country want to see an immediate end to the violence. But let's be clear. Let's recognize that every single bit of this violence has been facilitated and initiated by Biden's Democratic Party members, whether they live in the House of Congress and the Senate. state governors' mansions, or they're the radical nihilists and communists of Antifa and BLM, who seek to bring the entire U.S. system down. Oh, Americans want the violence halted, but they also want the assault against America and this radical communist insurrection halted as well. So by no means will we stand silent while these radicals loot and maim and kill and burn our cities to the ground. For at some point, most of us will make use of our God-given right to self-defense and act to stop it ourselves. In the absence of clear and effective leadership and an active, unrestrained police force. Time and time again, America's witnessed city mayors telling their police forces to stand down, to allow the peaceful protester, the looters and the rioters, let them have their way with their cities, like has occurred in Portland and Seattle and New York and Chicago, Minneapolis, even in Nashville, Tennessee, where they've got another raving lunatic for mayor. And the police do just the modicum to attempt to keep Antifa and BLM radicals separated from conservative counter-protesters. And the conservatives and the liberals alike who've just simply been trying to get to their businesses. 20 minutes ago, I read a headline about a businessman whose place was burned down. Turns out his insurance isn't going to cover it. So the man is officially out of business. You think he can sue the city and get them to turn around and do it? All these people that have done everything they can to stop help, to stop the police, to stop the burning and the looting and the rioting and the murders, they've declined help in all respects. But they're turning around demanding massive money from Washington, D.C., and from the government to rebuild the parts of the city that they've allowed to get burned down. All the while, we've repeatedly seen these people injured by the scores and hit in the head with bricks and frozen bottles, shot, killed by the thugs. The shooting of Jacob Blake was a good and justified shooting, because he had an outstanding warrant against him. He'd already fought the police on the scene. He was armed with a knife. He was refusing to comply with lawful orders to the police. But now, oh baby, under the new Black Lives Matter narrative, any shooting of a black person, no matter how justified, is an excuse for violence by the radicals, who need the illusion of systemic racism to advance their subversion of the Constitution and the rule of law. They could give a damn less about Black Lives Matter or anyone else's life. Since racism is a divisive Marxist social construct always used to divide and conquer, they care only that communism rules the day in America and they get to raid and rape her of her wealth. And you know what's terrible? Most of the people doing the rioting and the looting and everything else don't even understand what's about to happen. Of course, there is a slightly different perspective on these radicals. Comes from Eva Silvers, a political activist, American patriot from Columbus, Ohio, who recently broadcast a video stating in part that I've never been to a protest where the city has been obliterated, where we've looted and stolen and destroyed shit. No, this is an entitled bunch of kids. Of course, we disagree in that most of them are grown men and women well into their prime and radical Antifa and BLM thugs. Of course, enters the cancel culture generation. Just another polite word for thugs. They just want an excuse to go steal more stuff because they're too sorry to get a job. And if any American of any color, especially the black brothers out there, doesn't want to be shot by the police or anyone else, then don't act stupid and unhinged around reserved, polite, decent, moral, and cultured Americans. Don't become violent in situations that don't warrant violence. Just act like a normal human being. Don't go into communities for the sole purpose of looting and burning and destroying them under the pretense of one's false grievances by attacking and maiming and killing innocent Americans. Oh, man, we sure didn't hear a peep from Black Lives Matter when Darius Sessoms, a black man, executed 5-year-old Cannon Hynen, a little white child, with a shot to his head from a pistol as he played in front of his two sisters. Where was the outrage from BLM when little 7-year-old Natalia Wallace, a black child, was murdered by Terrell Boyd, a black man, on July the 4th? Independence Day, right? Yeah, well, that little girl got her freedom, all right. Finally, on August the 25th, they had the radicals of Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Oh, they were handed a taste of their own medicine in Kenosha, Wisconsin, by a young 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse, a resident of Antioch, Illinois, 20 miles away from Kenosha, who killed 2 animalistic radicals. Notice we didn't call them humans. In self-defense. And wounded one close to midnight after one of them had assaulted employees at the store he was protecting. Oh, a little correction to this story. It turns out that, well, apparently Kyle didn't kill 2. He only killed 1. Have you heard this story? Oh, my word. The guy that was laying in the parking lot with the gunshot to the head that they're trying to lay on Kyle? Well, it's not true. You see, if Kyle's gun had hit the guy in the head, it would have blown the back of his head off. It turns out that they've discovered that the bullet that lodged in the pervert's head was from a small caliber handgun that was fired by one of his own friends who was, quote, aiming at Kyle and missed. Oh, my goodness. Bet you ain't heard that one on the news yet. You see, the law, my friends, can be twisted. All of this can get murky once a case hits the courtroom, but there exists an abundance of cases of decent people shooting criminals who were stealing property or assaulting someone, in which the shooting was ruled justifiable homicide. I still like the guy who he shot in the arm, who just started dancing and then screaming, calling for the police, and every other word was mother effer, mother effer, mother effer, I've been shot. Call the police. The same ones you don't want around. Well, Joseph Rosenbaum, white man, 36-year-old, convicted sexual abuser of children. He's the one that was not killed by young Rittenhouse. He was killed by one of his old buddies. Of course, earlier in the evening, Rosenbaum had stepped up on Rittenhouse and angrily screamed, "Shoot me, nigga, shoot me, nigga." And as the events unfolded, it wasn't Rittenhouse who fired first. That fact is caught on video and undeniable. A lot of videos I've seen on this thing. From all the witness statements and available video, at the point Rittenhouse retreats and flees from the gathering mob of radicals, Antifa and BLM, seeking revenge against him, he displays that he is not the threat. Once they caught him and attempted to disarm him as they beat him with fists and a skateboard, it does, in my estimation, exhibit a clear-cut case of self-defense. Now, Anthony Huber, age 26, also shot and killed by Rittenhouse during the riot of the radicals. He chased Rittenhouse with others and hit him with a skateboard as he lay on the ground. And Huber has a criminal record of numerous assaults against innocent people, especially women. Well, the third radical shot by Rittenhouse, or technically now the second, was Gage Grosskreutz, who unfortunately survived. 26-year-old member of the People's Revolution Movement, shot, nearly blowing his arm in half as he held a pistol in his right hand and chased Rittenhouse. Oh, and Mr. Krosgrutz also has a criminal record that involves alcohol and firearms, and is not even supposed to be allowed to be in a possession of a weapon. Good riddance to bad rubbish. Rittenhouse was defending his life in self-defense. As far as I'm concerned, he deserves a medal. Of course, young Rittenhouse faces first-degree murder charges. Any prosecutor worth a plug nickel cannot support such a charge in light of the facts. And if he does, he needs to shred his law degree and leave the business. Even without Rittenhouse's viable assertion of self-defense, the facts of the case simply do not support a charge of first-degree murder. No, my friends, the radicals, the criminals, the thugs, one and all, we see them on the streets under the pretense of peaceful protests, beating people into a bloodied mess and to the point of death just for the crime of maybe being conservative or white or valuing and defending their property. These things that are less than human themselves have nothing of humanity left in them. They represent something barbaric and foreign to civilization. Former Congressman Ron Paul once stated that, why is patriotism thought to be blind loyalty to the government and the politicians who run it, rather than loyalty to the principles of liberty and support for the people? Real patriotism is a willingness to challenge the government when it's wrong. Problem is, my friends, these BLM and these Antifa thugs are not challenging the government. They're challenging pigmentation, or lack thereof. Many of the great American patriots across this land knew it was only a matter of time before these radicals of Antifa and BLM were brought down a notch by one or more of their countrymen, who would finally say enough is enough and hand them a hard day of reckoning. Kenosha represented a dividing line that all America recognized as we watched a young man who was clear in his purpose to defend people and property from roving groups of criminals and thugs and commies and nihilists forced to kill. And this is a line that we might not withdraw too soon. The radicals seem to think conservative, freedom, and liberty-loving Americans are supposed to simply take whatever abuse and violence they serve up, because the media and many other weepy, creepy, wheel-minded liberals have accepted the false narrative that America is a racist nation and that they have suffered being oppressed because of it. Well, they're right. America is a racist nation. But here's the interesting question. Who's the racist? Most Americans, the greatest percentage, in fact, have move far past worrying about skin color, because we full well know that it means absolutely nothing in the world today. And we're sick to death of being beat over the head with a constant barrage of race issues when any man and woman in our society, as it has constructed itself over the past 60 years, can achieve a fine living and lifestyle if they are of good moral character, willing to exert the necessary hard work to achieve it. And if anyone wishes to hate me for this hard truth and the color of my nicely tanned white skin, I really could give a damn less. And yet as Black Lives Matter propaganda gains ground in some of the largest cities and the halls of power, to the point that the mayor of the District of Columbia, Muriel Bowser, paints its communist logo down the center of D.C. to honor BLM. All America should tremble at the import of this act by an elected official. Every patriotic American must come to understand that communists, fascists, nihilists are the driving force behind this escalating violence. And if that isn't cause for enough concern to move good Americans to fight back hard on every front, at this point in America's history, And we are in for the darkest times this nation has ever seen. The violence and the riots are not going to die down. Not until our nation's radicals are taken to task and treated as the domestic enemies that they are. And they're growing more intense. And if one doubts the fact, look at Kenosha, Wisconsin. And that pretty well appears to be a war zone at the present time. America, my friends, will not find peace so long as communist movement and domestic terrorists are allowed to continue their insurrection against our founding, and that they are enabled by other communists in high government office, like Governors Kate Brown and Tim Walz, and Tony Evers and Andrew Cuomo, Mayors Ted Wheeler, Lori Lightfoot, and Bill de Blasio. They are forcing their will against good Americans outside of any constitutional norm and any real sense of the rule of law. And it's being done in a manner that has brought many various groups and factions and individuals into the violent civil upheaval. And there's nothing civil about it. But then give it their malcontent, their evil agenda, their unwillingness to actually compromise and follow the set order of our system and the principles of liberty. This civil strife and bloodshed will continue to plague our communities for a long time to come. But then I hate to say it, sadly, this is only the beginning of our troubles. Since police forces are being decimated across the country, ineffective at a time that they are most needed, and whatever law still exists is being used against good citizens such as the McCloskeys and anyone else who dare question the new order. By the way, the McCloskeys, that was a couple that was standing in their neighborhood holding guns against the thugs that had basically broken and entered into a gated community. They were set free today, found innocent of all charges. All that we're witnessing today is the new order of things, communist at its roots. These are what's making many choose between staying silent and accepting the suppression of their rights or potentially facing surreal charges as they stand up for their rights and defend all they have worked to acquire and all they love. And as the radicals and Antifa and BLM overwhelm our streets and threaten our homes and lives, many Americans' reluctance to cross the line into violent self-defense is diminishing rapidly. As we lovers of true liberty will not stand for this anarcho-tyranny and chaos in our streets any longer. It has become increasingly unlikely that the radicals and the normal conservative Americans are going to be able to live with one another, especially since the radicals won't cease and desist their attacks against America on all fronts. And without them leaving us be in peace and simply going about their lives under the so-called rule of law, conflicts can only grow and spread. No, my friends, the radicals tolerate no limits on their criminal behavior. Not one bit. And as communists, they believe the ends justifies the means in the pursuit of their evil, tyrannical agenda. In this sense, the only natural conclusion to this is that it's either us or them. And I only know that I'm not submitting to any Marxist vision. Rather than allow them to prevail, I just as soon fight them to the death. And when that day arrives, since I'm a firm believer in better red than dead, or I'm sorry, better dead than red, and true freedom and liberty for all. Just in case you've missed it, Justin O. Smith. These days, as I mentioned at the outset of the program, have been more and more difficult to face. It's unbelievable. I am thoroughly shocked. Saturday marked another night of protests and riots in Portland. This time there was a shooting which resulted in the death of one Aaron Danielson, the man who is wearing a Patriot prayer shirt, which is an organization that describes its goal as fighting corruption and big government and tyranny. Members of the Patriot Prayer, led by activist Joey Gibson, spent 3 summers brawling with local anti-fascists, setting the scene for the 90-day-long demonstrations and riots now convulsing through the Rose City. Well, the Portland Police Bureau determined the man died of a gunshot wound to the chest. Portland Police Chief Chuck Lavelle said, "This violence is completely unacceptable. We are working diligently to find and apprehend the individual or individuals responsible." And multi-videos have surfaced where Antifa and Black Lives Matter protesters rallied and cheered at the announcement of Danielson's death. And someone speaking to the megaphone can be heard saying he was an effing Nazi and that they don't need cops since our community held its own. The shooting came just minutes after a large pro-Trump caravan made its way through Portland and the downtown area, heavily protested and opposed by Antifa. And in a press conference on Sunday, Portland Mayor Ted the Weenie Wheeler spoke directly to Trump by saying, "You've tried to divide us more than any other figure in modern history, and now you want me to stop the violence that you helped create? What America needs is for you to be stopped." I have a very tough time with this. What kind of trouble did Trump cause in Portland, Oregon? No, he didn't. Except that he beat Hillary Clinton, and not a one of you sons of bitches has been able to absorb that and live with it and move forward with it like real human beings. Too many people fell for what was brought to us during the Obama administration. And I look back now and I read the words that George Bush Jr. is spouting out of his mouth, and I want to vomit. Absolutely want to throw up. But if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to do some research. He is in complete support of these Antifa and BLM things. Oh, he doesn't call them rioters. Of course not. He thinks it's going to bring about the necessary change that's needed in this country. Well, if you feel that way, were these kind of changes needed when you served in the White House for 8 years, Georgie? An old, probably 30s-style piece of art that I posted on Federal Observer the other day, a little girl reading a book, sitting on her daddy's lap, who is wearing a mask. Oh yeah, one of those COVID masks. And she says, "Daddy, what did you do when the state took all of our freedom and rights away?" And as he kind of looks, not at her, he says, "I called anyone who questioned it a conspiracy theorist, and I clap like a monkey." This, my friends, is what we are facing. But I'm supposed to sit around and find a way to say, "Oh, goody, it's time to go on the air. Let's bring cheer and joy to the network and to the airwaves." It's not an easy thing to do, people, day in and day out. I've not slept well for weeks. I find myself staying awake all night. I'll see if I can stay awake after the break. Stick around. Be right back.
And I don't give a damn about a greenback, a dollar. Spend it fast as I can for a wailing song and a good guitar. The only things that I understand, oh boy, the only things that I understand.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Brother, there's far too many of you die. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and get here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
What's going on, huh? Computer came through again. What was that? Oh, well. Went wacky. I got a notification this morning that, the CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control, quietly updated the COVID number to who admitted that only 6% of all the deaths ever recorded with a death from COVID, only 6% actually died from COVID. Yeah. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it. They break it down by age and sex and race and place of death and coronavirus and excess deaths and all this other stuff that doesn't matter. So, now, this report was dated last week, August 26th. You know, death counts are delayed, might differ a little bit come this week, but isn't CDC the organization that Dr. Fauci was somehow connected with after all these years? So, you see, all this business of wearing masks has been somewhat of a farce. Now, having said this, a posting I did yesterday from Simon Black, a man I've got a lot of respect for, who's the webmaster over at Sovereign Man, which predominantly deals with economic issues. But he wrote a piece he published over the weekend that says it's time to have an honest, rational conversation with your family. Simon was apparently getting ready to take a trip. And he says when the captain came on the announcement system yesterday morning to introduce himself to passengers, the first thing he said was, "Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of us have been cooped up and under tremendous stress for the past several months. So the most important thing we can do right now is to be kind, patient, and understanding with one another." Interesting way to start off a flight. And I remember thinking to myself, Simon continues, that he probably wouldn't bother saying something like that unless they've had some bad experiences recently with passengers fighting with one another. Sure enough, didn't take long before I heard an altercation between two passengers. Ostensibly, one of them had let their mandatory face covering slip ever so slightly below her nose, and a nearby passenger would have none of that. Even more interesting to me to witness the sense of entitlement that some people feel in barking orders to other human beings. They're like army drill sergeants shouting, "Put your mask over your nose." This example, of course, barely scratches the surface of conflict these days. I've written before about people being pepper sprayed or assaulted for not wearing a mask. Not even talking here about whether it's right or wrong to wear a mask. I'm talking about the inability of people to engage in civil discourse. There's so much bottled up rage in the world, it takes nothing anymore for that rage to explode and turn violent. But masks are only one example. Social justice is another. Rage quickly turns to violence and chaos. Earlier this week, an angry mob of mostly white young people swarmed restaurant customers whose only crime was dining outside in the wrong place at the wrong time. The mob ran up to the restaurant tables, commanded the diners to raise their fists in solidarity, screaming that white silence is violence. You can't even have lunch anymore without having to worry about being attacked by a violent mob. And of course, just last night, rioters violently clashed with armed citizens in a literal gun battle that took place in the streets of America. The mob had already torched private property, including inexplicably a car dealership. Several concerned citizens took it upon themselves to defend other property from the mob, since the local government doesn't seem willing or capable of doing so. And that's when things became violent, as at least two people were dead, several shot. Even something as simple as politics, which has long been a source of passionate and vocal disagreement, easily descends into violence and chaos. These days, people are literally being beaten and battered for quietly expressing their political views. Countless others have been fired from their jobs. It's nearly impossible to have a rational discussion any longer, and this all constitutes a complete breakdown in the social fabric. And I figure many of us probably stare at our screens and watch these videos and news reports in utter disbelief. We just cannot bring ourselves to acknowledge what has happened over these past few months. But make no mistake, this is happening. This is not a figment of our imaginations, and it's not going away. So don't be fooled into thinking it's going to blow over, or that some politician is going to ride in on a white horse and make everything better. In fact, in many cases, state and local governments they're in on the deal. They are fanning the flames of chaos. They're cheering on the riots and dismissing the violence as peaceful protests. Simon Black says, I've been writing about this for years. And I've been saying it for years, my friends. You cannot depend on your government. You cannot depend on the good nature of your fellow citizens. You've got to rely on yourself first and foremost. You got to have a plan B. Plan B is not about doom and gloom. On the contrary, it's about ensuring that you're in a position of strength regardless of what happens or does not happen next. But Plan B is an acknowledgement that obvious risks exist and a sensible approach to protect yourself from said risks. We're not talking about risks anymore, i.e. potential threats that might occur. We're talking about terrible trends that have and are happening right in front of our very eyes. Our brains work in a funny way in this regard, you know. Human beings often suffer what psychologists call normalcy bias. In other words, even when we see radical events taking place, we assume that everything will quickly go back to normal. Everything's going to be okay. Does anyone out there honestly believe that these angry mobs are just going to put down their torches and pitchforks and settle down? They would, honest to God, have you believe that if Trump's voted out of office and Biden's going to be the guy, at least until he kicks the bucket or finally falls into full Alzheimer's and BJ Betty takes over. Does anyone honestly believe that after the election, it's all going to be rainbows and buttercups? Don't fall into this trap, people. Don't shrug off what's happening and assume it's all going away. Remember the words of Medal of Honor recipient Admiral Jim Stockdale, who survived 7+ years in a Vietnamese prison camp? He said, you must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. My friends, it's really time to have an honest, rational discussion with yourself and your family about obvious threats and sensible solutions. Can I provide those solutions to you? No, I'm not going to get into a sales pitch for any reason whatsoever. That's just a common sense question that needs to be placed before you, each and every one of you. I have a guy who's been a friend for an awful lot of years. A truck driver on the open road who, when he would arrive in Phoenix, would come to my home every time. And we'd go have lunch, we'd sit, we'd talk for hours on end. Been to several of my homes over the years. And then Bob retired. We're Facebook friends, but we don't cross paths that horribly often. A lot of that has to do with the fact that Facebook has been playing games. They kind of let you have relations with the 25 people you're most often in contact with. I'm told this. I can't guarantee it for real, but that's what I've heard and read. Bob has been always a very careful thinker, a well-thought-out man. And recently he's been posting some things on Facebook, and I chose some days ago to publish one of them. And I made reference, bear with me just a quick second, I'm trying to look at something here. Just give me a quick second. I don't know if I referenced this on the air or not, but last week, or over the weekend, I think on Saturday night, I published one of his pieces and made reference to it. And I think I shot him a quick note that I had published it. And, I mean, he called me at 4 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning, man. He was absolutely blown away. I want to share his words with you. This tends to lean over a little bit to the education side, but in one form or another, I guess we're talking education. Trying to get you people to understand that all that we have been facing these past months is not going to go away. If Trump should win, I believe it's going to get worse. If Biden should happen to win, I still think it's going to get worse. Because now they're going to believe that Biden and team is solely on their side. People, honest to God, believe that if Joe and Biden and Kamala Harris are elected, that the problems are just going to disappear. The problems have been building for decade after decade after decade. I mean, I look back at what transpired during the 1960s during the civil rights movement. Had so much more positivity to it all. You know, the other day was the anniversary of Martin Luther King's speech. The one that's referred to as the I Have a Dream speech, his last big speech. And my wife had something on television. It was kind of a documentary about it. The involvement with blacks and whites working together, and I mean some big name white people. You know, you look at the Charlton Hestons, you look at other actors and political people that marched with them. If things have gone downhill since then that is the choice of the people that those folks work their buns off for. Black and white people. And now we're supposed to sit there and pay out stems of reparations. I want to share with you Bob's words. He says, there's a reason for what's going on today in America. And it's each and every one of our faults because we've done nothing for the past 50 years. The blame falls at our feet. Where do these people learn all of this America-hating crap from? They learn it in our public school systems. But here's a dirty little secret that no one wants to notice. The public schools are controlled by the government. Why? Because it's the government funding them. You pay school taxes to the government to have the government indoctrinate your children. Why do you think that they don't want private schools? Because private schools have always produced a better quality education. Always. And why? Because in public schools, taking government money The government gets to control the curriculum. And in private schools, the local public funding the schools gets to control what kids are taught. I've read more horror stories today about what's being taught in schools right now with these kids being educated at home by a computer. The NEA, National Education Association, has been controlled by the radical left for decades, and they've done a very good job of teaching our children to hate this country. Do you want proof? Just one look at the Democratic Party in this country is all you need. Every one of them promote hate for this country. Race warfare, class warfare. Where do you think they learned it all? Yeah, they learned it in the public school system. The college campuses today are filled with Marxist liberals. Go to one. See for yourself. Sad thing here is they've convinced these kids that they need to go into massive debt to get a degree in gender studies or some other idiotic degree, which is useless in the real world. And we, the people, sit back and say absolutely nothing. We have done all of this to ourselves. The city's burning, the cops being murdered. It's all been by design. The American people have and are allowing it all to continue. Shame on us. These are the things to think about. These are the things to think about. I commented very early on in the program today, and I began at the bottom of the break. I'm worn down right now, and it's amongst the reasons why we're re-airing old programs on Friday nights. I hope you tuned in for Chapter 3 of Fascianism. Chapter 4 comes up this week, and we've got two more Friday nights of it, and we'll see what's going to happen afterwards. I'll be back tomorrow with economic commentary. Something very interesting has come up today that I want to share with you. Finally, an admission from one of the nation's largest banks that their goal and purpose is a cashless society. We'll be talking about that tomorrow night. And a lot of things have been going on throughout the course of the weekend. Some silver, some gold sales. I'm in the middle of negotiating with several different people a very large transaction. We'll see what comes about. Maybe we can get some answers tomorrow. And should be able to bring some pretty interesting product in to make available to you. Or maybe not. One gentleman may buy the whole thing. Happens to be junk silver. It's a large amount. So we'll see what happens with it. We reached near the end of our time. I guess we could close out with George Michael. We could close out with the Doors. This is the end. Yeah. I'm afraid in more ways than one. I know that I'm not going to be staying awake for very long because I need to go rest after the emotion of putting these programs together. The direction I've taken, it drains me. And I know it drains many of you as well, because some of us have talked about it. We know how it's affecting us, physically, emotionally, and otherwise. So, we'll see what comes about. I did talk to one of my suppliers this morning. Good amount of silver is available. We've still got Austrian Philharmonics available for instant shipping or relatively instant shipping once we get the funds in. I'm also told we can take orders on the British, the UK Britannia, which is one of my favorite design pieces. The purity factor, those will be delayed about 2 weeks before they do ship. But stuff goes on, stuff happens. We'll talk about it all tomorrow. You got any curiosity? Shoot me out a text or a phone call, 602-799-8214. I'm out of here for the night. Lord willing, I'll be back with you tomorrow night without apology. I am Jeffrey Bennett.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end. No safety or surprise, the end. I'll never look into your eyes again. Can you picture what will be so limitless and free? Of some stranger's hand in a desperate land. Lost in a romance, wilderness of pain, and all the children are insane. All the children are. Ride the King's Highway, baby. Weird scenes inside the gold mine. Ride the highway where.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight, and I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.